Book of Abayim to the fourth shiur in the series of shiurim on the Tamiya Mitzvahs.
Yes. Interrupt with a question from the email, which was in the previous two series of Rambam's shiurim, Rabbi Tribbetz was comparing and contrasting different sections of Moreh Nevuchim and finding a hidden meaning and all sorts of chidushim. So far, these shiurim have been fairly tame. Are we to expect more exciting chidushim in the next few shiurim?
Yes. Up till now, it's been the quiet before the storm. And not to contrast this to Haydn's Surprise Symphony, but I'm always trying to outwit my opponents. But in any case, I want you to hang on to your seats now, because we're going to actually explore things a little bit much more depth. Okay, now, what I want to do is, last week we went through Perek Chaf Zayin, and I think that we more or less got a very clear picture of the Rambam, that in fact, actually, the Kadosh Baruch Hu always acts rationally. It's absurd, or in other words, it would be ridiculous to attribute any fruitless or absurd actions. And because of this, there have to be necessarily reasons for the mitzvahs, reasons for the commandments. The Medrash, which is quoted, does the Kadosh Baruch Hu really care, you know, how you you slaughter an animal? So the Rambam made a very important distinction between the mitzvah in general and between the details of the mitzvah. And we had a little discussion as to what the details meant in the Rambam. But I want to go back and I want to focus a little bit on the this opinion of the Rambam. Most people, very few people learn the Moreh Nevuchim. So how is it that, you know, that the Rambam should write an important sefer and people should be unaware of it? So the answer is the Kadosh Baruch Hu did a chesed. The chesed was that the Ramban wrote a perush on the Chumash, and in several places in the Ramban's perush on the Chumash, he refers to the Moreh Nevuchim. Had it not been the Ramban's perush on the Moreh Nevuchim, a perush on the Chumash, we argue the Moreh Nevuchim, probably would have been lost in Klal Yisrael. But the Ramban, in several places, very famous Rambans, I don't even know if those Rambans are learned anymore. Probably people only learned the inspirational Rambans, which are about three or four of them. But nonetheless, there are several Rambans on the Chumash in which takes issue of the Moreh Nevuchim. Now, one of the important Rambans, essential Rambans, which takes issue with the Moreh Nevuchim has to do with the Tamei HaMitzvahs. So the Ramban is located in Devarim, which is in Perak Chav Beis in Devarim, Pasuk Vav, in Pashas Ki Tseitse. And there, the Ramban is speaking about the Pasuk and the Mitzvah of Ken Tzipor. Of course, the Mitzvah of Ken Tzipor is fundamental in the Tamei HaMitzvahs because of the very famous Mishnah, which actually we actually referred to last week, is that whoever answers the Mishnah in two places, the Mishnah answers in Brachos and the Megillah, that whoever says, Al ken tzipor yagir achamecha, right, mishatkin oisai. And this is, of course, the Ramban, in fact, brings a raya, proof from this Mishnah, that we can't make and the Gemara says, actually, that we can't make the midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the attributes, rachamim, the Ramban understands that this is actually a proof that, in fact, there are no reasons for the mitzvahs. And now, the Rambam, very interestingly enough, does not bring this at all in Perek Chavav. But as I mentioned last time, he does bring it later on in Perek Memches. That's page 636 in the Schwartz edition. And there the Rambam just says that, you know, the Rambam has nothing to answer for that Mishnah. The Rambam just says, well, that Mishnah is going to point to the opinion that there are, in fact, actually no reason for the mitzvahs. There's a dispute upon that. And we, says the Rambam, we are upholding, or we are siding with the opinion that says that there are reasons for the mitzvahs. So the Rambam is admitting that there are, you know, there is a dispute on this, which we spoke about last time.
Yeah. Rambam's saying, if you would say that in my shul, it wouldn't stop you.
Well, I don't know. Maybe Marshall, I would stop you. But if you say some other shul, I wouldn't walk in the other shul and stop you. Maybe. In any case, that's the Rambam says. Or I might, yeah.
How does Rambam and Ramban know?
Oh, wait.
How do we know this is a general principle, not just a localized problem with this mitzvah. Maybe it's a problem saying God's got rachamim because of the birth.
Okay, so there, the Ramban actually brings from the Medrash, right? And there's a Kadosh Baruch Hu really care where we shecht from the neck. In other words, the Ramban brings several things. But what I want to do is that everybody who learns the Ramban al Chumash, right, knows there's a machloikis, everybody knows there's a machloikis between the Ramban and the Rambam, Nachmanides and Maimonides. Are there Tamei HaMitzvahs or there are not Tamei HaMitzvahs? Okay, that's the dispute. So I want to challenge that today. And I want to examine a little bit, really, what is this dispute between the Ramban and the Rambam? Now, first of all, I'm going to do something very daring today. I'm going to actually read from the Chevel edition of the Ramban. I know that it's been puzzled over the last few years. But Rabbi Chevel, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, actually wrote a Ramban, which is not only full of beautiful Maamar Mekaymis before the age of the computer, when people actually knew something once upon a time, but also too, I think that on the bottom, he's actually, his Peushim, what he brings from the Farshim, is very much to the point. So, the fact is that the Ramban does acknowledge there are Tamei HaMitzvahs. In the Chevel Ramban, which I hope some of you have. If not, you can go to your local museum. You can get one there. It says in the Chevel Ramban on Daf Tov Mem Tes, this is once again in Perech of Beis and Devorim, Parshas Ki Seitze, Pasuk Vol, Ki Yikrek Kansi Po Lefanecha, and says the Ramban, this is the third line on Daf Tov Mem Tes, V'zeh Ha'ini Shegoza Harab B'mitzvah Sheish Lem Tam Mavua Hu Ma'oit. Of course it's Tamei HaMitzvahs. Ki b'chol achat tam v'toyelus v'tikin l'adam l'vat z'chah me'eis ha-mitzvah ben yisbarach. Of course. Right, he says it's tikin l'adam. Right? And he goes on. And he brings all the midrashim. He even brings the midrashim, some of the midrashim the Rambam brings. Right? Hinei ba'aru. I'm reading now from the Shvel's Ramban on Tov Mem Tes. Hinei ba'aru she'ein meniyis tamei tera mimenu. Chas v'shalom, is that the Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't have Tamei HaMitzvahs? Ela ivrol b'sechleinu, just we're not that intelligent enough. V'shikavad is gala tam ha-chamur, shemem l'chok b'Yisrael. The tam we're good, l'chok b'Yisrael. U'ke'ele rabbis b'devreim v'tev v'mikro d'vorm rabbi mo'idin kein v'arav hizkekan. So I agree that there's Tamei HaMitzvahs. The mitzvah comes from Sakinas, to give us good deyas, good mitas. Okay? Now, so what's the argument with the Rambam? The argument with the Rambam, according to the Rambam, just had a little certain medrash. Says the Rambam, Aval elu ha-godesh ha-shin is kashu al-arav kifi daiti inyan achar lahem. Right? In other words, those are goddess, right? That the Ma'in of Uchem had a difficult time. There was the Ma'in of Uchem saw the medrash that says, right? Does the Kodesh Baruch Hu care whether we shecht an animal from the front, from the back, of the neck? So the Rambam says that it seems to be a kasha, a question of what I'm saying. So the Rambam understood that the pratim we can't understand. So the Ramban is going to give an alternative explanation to this medrash, but I claim the Ramban here, at least this point, is not coming to argue on the Ma'ir Nevuch necessarily. But he's coming to give another explanation to this medrash. What type of machlokes is this? It's a different pshat in the medrash. Let's read the Ramban. So he says, "Aval elo hagodos asher niskashu l'arav kefi daiti inyan achem." In my opinion, there's another way of learning the medrash. Not that we can't know the details. Not that there's no reason for the details. Shirotu loymar hachayna to elis b'mitzvah kodesh baruch hu ba'atz b'isala. In other words, there's no benefit to God from the mitzvah. The purpose of the mitzvah is for people, right? He shouldn't be harmed, or a mudara should have a bad belief, or mida begunah should have chas v'shalom have a bad mida, have a bad character, characteristic, or the skor nisim nefloi should remember nisim of a kodesh baruch hu, and that's called tzamas abrias. So what's the big machlokes? What's the big dispute? I mean, the Ramban acknowledges that there are reasons for the mitzvahs. This medrash, which the Rambam quotes, v'chi echpas l'kodesh baruch hu, don't care how we slaughter right, an animal for the front and the back of the neck. So the Rambam understood that we can't know the details in principle. The Rambam says, no. The purpose, the Medrash is coming to tell me, is that Kodesh Baruch, of course, when he commands a mitzvah, wants to instill into us either proper beliefs or proper, you know, values. But it's just coming to tell us that what? That Kodesh Baruch commands the mitzvah not for himself, but for the Jewish people. Now, the Rambam doesn't agree with that. The Rambam doesn't agree with that. The Rambam thinks that Kodesh Baruch is near the mitzvahs. And that's what he says. And I go on to turn the page, Daf Tov Nun, in the Chevelle edition, Rabbi Chevelle edition. He doesn't need, like, just like Kodesh Baruch doesn't need the life of the Menorah. We have to know the truth, but not because the Kodesh Baruch needs it. And once again, he says, "Shuli yosir neki hanefesh." We should be pure of soul. Chacham maskil eres. You know the truth. I mean, the Rambam doesn't agree with this. The Rambam doesn't agree with this. So the fact is, what is the dispute? The Rambam agrees here at Tamiya Mitzvahs. I mean, any normal person would have to acknowledge the fact that certainly the Rambam would work, certainly the Rambam would acknowledge the fact that certainly the mitzvahs, Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't need the mitzvahs, but this is for the Jewish people. What's the machlokes? Now, the fact is that it would appear to me that the only place where we could find a machlokes, where a dispute, is really in that Mishnah in Brachos. Right? So, the Ramban brings the Mishnah in Brachos, Lama Gimel Amad Beis, 433 Side B, in your Rosh Hashanah edition. And the Ramban says, V'chei Masha Amru, that which Chazal said. Now I'm on the Ramban, the third line from the bottom on Daf Tov Nun of the Chevelle edition, Rabbi Chevelle edition. V'chei Masha Amru l'fisha oisim g'dol shal Kodesh Baruch Hu rachamim v'einan ela gzeiros loy masha loy chas hakel haken tzipo v'loy g'rachamah v'l oisov yes b'noi. Kodesh Baruch Hu was not really worried about the bird, because he was worried about the verse of the Ramban, so he would force her to be a vegetarian. What is Kibbutz HaShechita? Now, it's interesting. What is the Ramban saying? The Ramban is saying is that you can't say the midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are midas of Rachamim. That's the Ramban. No, the Ramban learns in the Mishnah, the midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are midas of Rachamim. You can't say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands us on Ken Tzipor, right? Commands us on Ken Tzipor, on the, no, shooing away the mother bird. Not because he's worried about the bird, but he wants to instill in us, the midah of Rachamim. Now, it would appear from this, right, that how do we understand the dispute upon the Rambam? So we'd have to say that really, and now the fact is that the Rambam himself does acknowledge that this Mishnah is going on to the opinion that there are Tamiya Mitzvahs. In other words, we want to locate the dispute between Nachmanides and Maimonides.
There are not Tamiya Mitzvahs.
What? Whether there's Tamiya Mitzvahs or not. We'd have to actually go to this Mishnah, which the Rambam, by the way, ignores, or, right? Or doesn't speak about until he gets to chapter 48. In other words, according to the Ramban, you can't make the midas of a Kodesh Baruch Hu rachamim. You can't make his midas rachamim. Vaistois, as a consequence of this, we have to say that according to Maimonides, you can't make the midas of a Kodesh Baruch Hu rachamim. That's crazy. The midas of a Kodesh Baruch Hu rachamim. In other words, Kodesh Baruch Hu has virtues, ethical virtues. How could you say something like that? This, in fact, contradicts the entire section of negative theology, which, to which we devoted at this internet site 20 lectures explaining how it's impossible to describe God in any positive sense, certainly to attribute to him an attribute of mercy, of rachamim. In other words, what I'm saying is the following thing. In other words, if we're going to say, because we haven't found anywhere, I mean, the Rambam acknowledges that there are reasons for the mitzvahs. We haven't found anywhere in Eitz Midrashim that he's arguing with the Rambam on that, except for this one mitzvah, one medrash, which says that, well, Kadosh Baruch Hu care. I mean, for sure, the Rambam won't have to agree, because one doesn't care how you slaughter the animal. So, we boil ourselves down to this Mishnah Brachos. So the Mishnah Brachos is saying to me, I cannot make the midas of a Kadosh Baruch Hu rachamim. And according to the Rambam, I can? Paganism of a desire. Of all people, the Rambam is going to make the midas of a Kadosh Baruch Hu rachamim. Okay, Ben, are you listening to me? We have to take this whole thing and turn it around. The Rambam is saying an incredible thing here. It is true, and we learned this in the section of negative theology, that certainly we cannot ascribe any ethical virtues, mercy, midas, right, to God. But what did the Rambam say? The Rambam said in the sections of negative theology, and we saw this many times over, that I can describe God's acts. In other words, I can't say, chas v'shalom, that God is ethical, but I can point to an act in nature, and I can say that God acts in an ethical manner. In other words, the Rambam himself said that ascribing ethical attributes to acts of God doesn't negate ethical theology, because the act is sufficiently removed from God. Okay, so now, let's go back to the starting point. I'm sorry there's a little bit of a give and take in the pill, but you'll excuse the Talmudic methodology. The Rambam had no problem ascribing ethics to God's acts, to God. Why? Because it's clear in the Rambam that ascribing ethical attributes to God is really ascribing to his acts. According to the Rambam, there's no problem ascribing an ethical attribute to God's act. Now, what does this have to do with the Tamei Mitzvahs? Well, this is rather clear. If we go back to the first lectures, and we began on chapter 25, the Rambam's introduction, which laid the foundation that there have to be reasons for the mitzvahs, had nothing to do with mitzvahs. It had to do with the fact that God's acts cannot be random. They cannot be pointless. They cannot be absurd. God's acts have to have a reason. What does this have to do with the mitzvahs? Well, in chapter 26, the Rambam says clearly that just like people are divided over whether God's acts have a rationale or not, so are they divided over his commandments. Meaning what? Meaning that the Rambam is saying that God's commandments are really like acts. In other words, God's commandments are acts.
The door just has to be locked when you're done. Do you have the key? Okay, thank you, sir.
We interrupt this for the secretary in this undisclosed place. Now,
just that I was at the height of it.
The Rambam's main point is that God's commandments are not revelations, they're acts. In other words, I have to treat God's commandments as acts. Now, in fact, we saw that in negative theology. Says the Rambam, the dibur of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the utterance of God to Moshe Beinu, is a created act. In fact, if you look at my first one of my articles in Rishimu number 1, you'll see clearly that God's thoughts are also acts. In other words, God understands that a mitzvah is no different than a natural phenomenon or act of nature. Just like I can ascribe an ethical attribute to an act of nature, so too I can ascribe an ethical attribute to a mitzvah, because a mitzvah is no different than any objective natural act. Okay, so now we have here a very interesting case. The Rambam's pure monotheism, the Rambam's austere, pure, and untainted monotheism demands that commandments be acts, and it's a chumma da'asa de kula. In other words, the Rambam's stringencies regarding negative theology pushes commandments into the realm of actions, and by virtue of this, I can ascribe a command an ethical rationale. We would have to say that the Ramban's monotheism is not as negative as that of the Rambam. In other words, somehow the Ramban would understand that the dibur, the utterance of God, let's say to Moshe Rabbeinu, is not a created act. It's not a created act. It's actually a dibur, a speech. In which case, it's coming directly from God. It's not a created act. In which case, if I attribute an ethical attribute to the word of God, ipso facto, I'm attributing an ethical attribute to God itself. But that can't be. You can't say God, in fact, in and of himself, has mercy. So because of this, I'm about to say that, in fact, we can't claim, or we can say, that the commandment of Shiloh HaKen, of driving away the mother bird, is in fact due to the rachem and the mercy of God himself. In other words, the dispute between the Rambam and the Ramban is, how am I understanding the mitzvahs? Are the mitzvahs objective acts, just like acts of nature? In which case, I can attribute ethical attributes, positive attributes to the mitzvahs, just like I can attribute direct ethical attributes to God's acts. Or do I say that the mitzvahs come directly from God, from a Kodesh Baruch Hu? In which case, to attribute an ethical attribute to a mitzvah would in fact be attributing an ethical attribute to God himself. And that you can't do, as you all know, right? The Ramban says in several places, for example, on the pasuk Vayizbak Zavachu Lekin Ovav Yitzchak, I can't say that the Sfiras, the Midas, are Midas of Kodesh Baruch Hu himself. You can't say, like the Kabbalah would say, you can't say God is Chesed. You can say God is Baruch Hu. Excellent, but you can't say God is Chesed. So in other words, the dispute between the Rambam and the Ramban has nothing to do with Tamei Mitzvahs. It just has to do with two epistemological understandings of the relationship of, let's say, Moshe Rabbeinu, or the commandments of the Torah, to God himself. That's the dispute. Okay, now, it comes out that based upon this, we have an incredible consequence. By the way, you should know something. We would only really be alerted to this once we have the Ramban. It was the Ramban did not argue on the Rambam. So, even though there is we can make this careful reading at the beginning of chapter 26, that just as they argue, and just as people argue on God's acts, they argue also on his commandments too, but we don't have to say there's actually a relationship between those two things. But Ben, you're interested in a hidden message. So let's speak about hidden messages. We spoke about this in messages also, when Maimonides says, just that they argue about this, so they argue about that, there's an esoteric message there too. Just for example, we saw that the Rambam, Maimonides, said in the opening, in the second volume of the God, just like people argue on the creation of the world, that's in Chelek Beis, Perek Yud Gimel, so too he says, the Rambam says at the beginning of the prophecy, in Perek Lamed Gimel, of Chelek Beis, so too they argue on prophecy. And the Rambam is making a commensurability, a statement of equation between creation and prophecy. Now, we had a lot to say about that. But I want to say something very interesting. What is the Rambam doing there? What the Rambam is saying is that the prophet, when he prophesizes, is interpreting an act of God, except in prophecy it's a thought act. In other words, God's thoughts are acts. Just like God's creation is an act, God's thoughts are acts. What the Rambam is saying is that what the Rambam says is just as people argue on how God created the world, people argue on the nature of prophecy. What the Rambam really wants to say is that prophecy is really a study of God's mental acts. I study God's mental words like I study his creation. We spoke about that. I think we made a children of that in one of the Rishima articles. So now I want to claim the same thing here too. What the Rambam is saying here is a very interesting thing. What the Rambam is saying here is that the mitzvahs are not what you, a mitzvah is not to be regarded as Kadosh Baruch Hu speaking to me. A mitzvah is an act of God. Which means, what does that mean? And this is the important consequence here, Ben. What it means is, just like I can study, I can subject the world, the acts of the world, to a scientific analysis, they're intelligible. I look at the world, I see order. So too, I can look at the mitzvahs and see order.
But I don't always see the reasons.
Wait a second. The Rambam says I always see the reason. There are tamei mitzvahs. It might be, says the Rambam, but still thinking about that thing. I'm going to get it eventually.
Are you sure we don't always see the reasons?
No. Rambam understood. What was the Rambam? The Rambam, Aristotle had all the reasons. You got the wrong person. I mean, Aristotle understood that the world acts according to a natural law. In other words, just like the natural world, I can subject it to a scientific analysis, I can study it objectively, I can describe it in scientific terms, so too, God's mitzvahs, I can subject them, I can study them in scientific terms. Now, what do you mean scientific terms? So, I want to claim, and this is really the entire opening to the Tamei HaMitzvahs. What the Rambam is really saying is that the method, the methodology, or the proper way of studying the world is through physics, through biology, I'm speaking Aristotle, through physics, through biology. How do, you know, these are the quote-unquote Aristotelian scientific disciplines by which Aristotle studied the world. In the case of biology, Aristotle makes what's called classes genera. This is a dispute between Aristotle and Plato. I don't understand the nature, scientific nature of the world. And every biological species remains within its own, own genera, its own species. I can take it and understand it as such, as its own rules and laws for survival, etc., etc. But the Rambam says in chapter 17 of section 3, that in fact actually the hashkacha, the providence on every species, is general laws which allow it to continue. So too, I can subject the commands of God as actions to what I would call a scientific anthropological understanding. In other words, the very basis of the Tamei HaMitzvah, says the Rambam, is scientific. I can look at God's commands. I can regard them as creations. Now, of course, when God takes the world and fashions the world, what is he doing? What he's doing is, forget about creation ex nihilo, we're being very Aristotelian here. When God takes the world and fashions the world, he takes choyma. He takes a substance, a raw substance, and he gives it form, he gives it shape. So too, the commandments of God also take some type of a primeval, substance and give it form and shape. This primeval substance, gentlemen, is going to be the world's religions, the paganistic religions, which in fact the Rambam is eventually going to claim is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took these paganistic processes and directed them towards monotheism. In other words, what the Rambam is doing, what Maimonides is doing, is basically establishing the basis of scientific religious anthropology. And the Rambam understands that this scientific religious anthropology is in fact parallel to the scientific methodology by which Aristotle studied understood the world, understood the plants and physics, etc., etc. That's an incredible thing. The Rambam has pulled a fast one on us. Had we not had the Ashkafasakal.com class today, we would have thought, oh, you know. No, the Rambam was understood, but and what allows me to do this? Because of the Rambam's austere and radical monotheism. The Rambam's radical monotheism allows us to objectively study the world. Just as the Rambam's radical monotheism, abstract monotheism, allows us to study the physical world for science. If I believe in spiritual immanence and the world's an illusion, and therefore I can't make any different type of scientific arguments, I'm left with intelligent design and Christian science, etc., etc. We've spoken about this. So in other words, the Rambam's abstract monotheism allows me to study the world in an objective way, to understand its rational rules, just like I can understand the rational rules which govern natural law. I can actually understand the rational rules which govern religious law, religious anthropology. So the Rambam, in fact, actually has, in fact, established the basis for what Rabbi Soloveitchik says in the upcoming lectures, philosophical anthropology. In other words, the scientific study of anthropology, as it relates to the commandments. And in fact, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Tamei HaMitzvahs. The Tamei HaMitzvahs is no different than the Aristotelian division of the world of plants, the different genera, understanding each one according to its functions. And just like, for example, the Rambam has already told us that the details of nature where the planets are located is also a certain randomness and uncertainty. So too, the particular mitzvahs have a certain uncertainty and randomness, but for sure, I can understand the general style and function of each genera in rational terms. So this is actually what the Rambam is doing. This is thanks to Rabbeinu HaRamban. Okay? Very, very interesting. Very interesting indeed. Now, what I want to do is, there's a lot to say here, but I think that actually this in and of itself is enough to understand where in fact actually the Meir Nevuchim is going. And I want to just speak to them in general. The fact is, let's understand the entire plan of the Meir Nevuchim. Okay? The first section of the Meir Nevuchim, well, the first chapters until about chapter 50 are basically what's called Sumera. In other words, don't be a pagan. Don't learn verses a certain way. The last part of the first section is negative theology. What's the purpose of negative theology? Well, negative theology has a double purpose. On one hand, negative theology, prevents you from paganism. But the prevention of paganism allows me to understand the world rationally, understand it scientifically. The Rambam's attack on the Kalam is that they rejected the rationality of Aristotelian science. They believed that nature acts irrationally. They felt that if nature acts irrationally, then I can understand things that Christians deal with. Of course, the Rambam rejected this. I don't want to go back over issues we've already discussed. In other words, the point of negative theology is to prepare the way for science, for man's rational understanding of the world. So that ends section one of the Meir Nevuchim, of the guide. Section two, basically, is the Rambam's application of the consequence of negative theology for studying the world, or namely, studying God's acts in a rational way. How do I study God's acts in a rational way? Well, there's God's creation. It's God's creation. And number two, there's prophecy. But prophecy is also creation of God. I can study the physical world, and I can study God's thoughts. However, that's section two. But in other words, prophecy is something which, in other words, is not related to the commandments. Section three is the culmination. Because in section three, in the Meir Nevuchim, the God for Bless, what I'm doing is, I'm studying God's commandments. It was God's commandments are, in fact, the study, or God's commandments lend themselves to a rational anthropological study, right? What is the substratum? The substratum was the state, the cultural anthropological state of man before the Kodesh Baruch Hu came along and gave the Jews the Torah. That was, the Rambam says, and this, in fact, is what's called Tamei HaMitzvahs. Tamei HaMitzvahs are no different than physics. Tamei HaMitzvahs is man's being privy to understand God's commandments in a rational way, no different than man is privy to understanding natural law. That's what Tamei HaMitzvahs is. That's the culmination of our Nevuchah. And that's the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Nevuah, the prophet of Moshe Rabbeinu, which the Rambam doesn't speak about at all in the Maariv Nevuchah. Not at all. In fact, he says several places in the prophet, they're going to speak about it, but I'm not going to speak about it at all. He makes an emphasis on it. We've spoken about it. I'm not going to speak about it. He doesn't have to speak about it. Because the essence of Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy was to present God's rots and his will, his commandments, in a rational anthropological phenomenon which lends itself to a rational analysis. Judaism can call itself the religion of reason, in Herman Cohen's sense, but not because I obfuscate, not because I deny historicism or historical reality of the, you know, of Jewish history, but because I can understand the mitzvahs from a rational scientific perspective. And this is the peculiar Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Rambam says this time and time again. He says this in chapter 27, on page 517, V'hi Toras Moshe Rabbeinu. And he said it also, right, last week, too. This is Toras Moshe Rabbeinu. Toras Moshe Rabbeinu was basically understanding spirituality from a scientific anthropological, objective understanding. That's Toras Moshe Rabbeinu. And the emphasis on Moshe Rabbeinu is on the rational intellect. The Nevi'im are spiritual. But says the Rambam, in the section of Nevuah, the Nevi'im can't give mitzvahs. Ein Novi Rashi L'chadish B'Dava. Because the mitzvahs are rational and scientific. They're not. The image was conjured up by the imaginative faculty. The imaginative faculty is good for Musa, good for chizik, inspiration. But it cannot have any legal basis. It cannot have any legal authority. Legal authority has to be based upon a rational understanding of man, who he is, how he behaves, and what are the cultural forces which constitute his cultural environment. That's why only Moshe Rabbeinu can give us the mitzvahs. Only Moshe Rabbeinu can produce the consummate human being who can be balanced between the extreme temperaments of self-hedonism and self-asceticism. Okay. So, we see here the centrality of the Tamei HaMitzvahs in the entire plan of the Maariv Nevuchah. In fact, if the entire plan of the Maariv Nevuchah, as I mentioned before, was to present us the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Rambam has done it right here. In other words, then all the action is in this first two lines on page 512 of Perek Chavav. Everything else is a rational consequence. If you missed it here, you missed the entire Tamei HaMitzvahs. Okay, now, Baruch Hashem. With that introduction, I want to just continue a little bit on Perek of Zion, chapter 27. Okay? Now the Rambam is going to launch into the scientific, objective, anthropological study and understanding of the mitzvahs as they express themselves in anthropological history and philosophy. Perek of Zion, page 516 in the Schwartz edition. Kavanas kol haTorah shnei devarim. The purpose of the Torah has two purposes. What are these two purposes? Haim tekinas hanefesh, that means the rectification of the nefesh, spiritual rectification. Tekinas haguf, and physical rectification. In other words, there are two goals of the Torah, right? To perfect the nefesh, the soul, to perfect the body. Tekinas ha-nefesh tiyeh b'kach she-tusagde la-hamoin deyas l'choydes k'fi yecholtam. The purpose of the Torah is to impart to the hamoin, to the masses, proper ideology, proper philosophy, as much as they can get. Not everybody in accordance with what he can absorb. L'chein yeh chelkan b'mufruish v'chalkan b'mashal. Some people you have to speak explicitly. Some people has to be with a metaphor. In other words, not everybody can understand things the way they really are. Now, I'm actually, what's he referring to? Well, we've seen examples of this. For example, in section 1, chapter 26, the Rambam asks the question, if in fact actually, right, we are forbidden from ascribing any attribute, certainly physical attribute to God, and we therefore, the Torah which speaks about, you know, uses anthropomorphic language, I mean, how is that permitted? So the Rambam says, of course, that anthropomorphic language in the Torah, God's outstretched arm, etc., has to be understood metaphorically. But then, why did the Torah use that for? So the Rambam says very clearly that most people, at the time the Torah was given, monotheism for them was too abstract, too difficult. Even today, in today's world, I think monotheism is too abstract for most people. But certainly at that time, it was clearly too abstract. So because of this, if you would present the monotheistic idea as it is to most people, they would end up not believing in God. So because of this, it's much better that in fact actually they should believe in a sort of an anthropomorphic God to a certain extent, and still believe in God, than to be atheists. Okay, that's what that's about what the Rambam says in chapter 26. So the Rambam says, that's where he says, chalkim b'mafush, chalkim b'mosha. In other words, those who understand know that the anthropomorphic terms that are used, the corporal terms that are used about God in the burden of right in the Torah, are solely a mashal, a metaphor. But in fact, right, those people are unable to understand monotheism the way it is. They can only relate to a physical God. So because of this, they have to somehow present it with ideas which use anthropomorphic images of God, and they have to understand it literally. That's what the Rambam says. Okay, we've spoken about this in detail. So the Rambam says, so the purpose of the Torah is, of course, to perfect man's spiritual, philosophical side, right, in accordance with his, you know, you'd say in the yeshivish world where he's holding, in other words, on his intellectual level. However, physical perfection has to do with relationships, interpersonal relationships between men and other people, that was between people. In other words, or Yushlam, in other words, this thing, is this perfection, comes about in two instances. People shouldn't steal from each other, right? You have to prevent people from, you know, abusing people and doing things against people. People have to act in accordance with what is for the better good. That's one. Number two, we're speaking about, of course, the physical perfection. Hasheni, shiyakta l'kol ish, midas ha-ba'ilis b'chai ha-yachad, k'day sh'amadina tiyah harmoni. Somehow, there's a concept that people have a certain attribute that allows for certain harmony in the political state. In other words, basically, there's a practical thing that people, this sumei rav ve'asitoi, in other words, basically, is that you want to people, you know, prevent people from plundering and stealing and doing bad things to other people. Also, do you want to basically give a person a sense of harmony? Now, the Rambam says, "V'dash b'shtei ha'batoras ha'elu achas nechbada yosef bli safek v'u takinas ha'nefesh k'loimar matan ha'des ha'lechoyes." Of course, as the Rambam says, the most important thing, of course, is the proper ideas, the proper philosophies, proper theology. Ha'matoras shli etchaz ha'guv k'odemis b'tevel v'zman. In other words, therefore, physical perfection, says the Rambam, actually precedes spiritual, philosophical perfection. In other words, that's, you know, that has to do with making sure that the state operates properly. But the Rambam says is that you don't achieve philosophical perfection, right, unless you have political perfection, which is very interesting. In other words, and I want to mention here that the Rambam here, of course, this is a theme not only in the Bar Nevuchim, the Rav Ruplex, There's also a thing too in the Yad HaChazakah. For example, in Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Tes, the Rambam says that Yemais Peshecha Rebbe, that man is basically going to be freed from what's called political pressures, political, you know, all different types of political ways in which enslaves man, which basically, in other words, disturbs his life, and then man will basically be able to be free and live a harmonious life and reflect upon God and come to announcing the truth. So the Rambam clearly understood that ethical and political perfection was a means to spiritual perfection. Now, what's interesting is that this seems to go at odds with what is generally acknowledged as an important distinction between Jews and Christianity, Allah and Rabbi Soloveitchik, in soon-to-be-published lectures, in Yitzhak Hashem. Rabbi Soloveitchik says that an important distinction between Christianity and Judaism, it's very important to mention this, the important distinction between Christianity and Judaism is that Christianity understands, and Rabbi Soloveitchik, if you look at the footnotes that will appear there, there were explicit quotations from Augustine's City of God. I forget the Civita Dei, whatever it is, that's the Latin. That, in fact, the Judaism, the Christianity understands, I hate to use the word, b'dom l'chavera, understands interpersonal relationship, interpersonal ethics, as merely a means to divine ethics. In other words, relationships between man to man are really only an intermediate, a means by which man achieves the perfect relationship with God. Which means you can do anything to your fellow man as long as God wants it. As long as you get close to God. You can kill him, because, you know, if you get close to God by killing your fellow man, that's good. It's become a sheet in some Jewish circles too, but in any case, that's Christianity. So as Rabbi Soloveitchik, Judaism rejects this. Judaism understands that ben adam l'chaveiro, man-to-man ethics, is separate from man-to-God ethics. In other words, a person sins to his fellow man, even though he does repentance as tshuva to Kodesh Baruch Hu, to God, doesn't absolve him of sin unless he asks forgiveness from his fellow man too. In other words, man-to-man ethics, terrible translation, that on the chaveiro ethics is autonomous, to use Rabbi Soloveitchik's language, is autonomous from man-to-God ethics. Now, for this reason, Christianity understood, no, the city of God just uses man-to-man ethics as a way of getting to man-to-God ethics. In other words, interpersonal relationships between one man and another man are not really of any consequence. It's just, to use a yeshiva shatim ha-hechatim, a way, a means, a mechanism to get me to relate to God. I can trample, destroy, humiliate, do whatever I want to my fellow man. The main thing is I relate to God. There's a lot to say on this. But now, Rabbi Soloveitchik, though, why am I bringing this up? Because he makes an interesting, cryptic remark that the Rambam and the Meira Nevuchim, he doesn't say the place, sounds Christian. Where does the Rambam sound Christian? I claim here in chapter 27, the Rambam sounds like Augustine, Chas v'Shalom. But the Rambam sounds like Augustine, that in fact, interpersonal ethics is in fact the prelude of the proper environment that man needs for proper contemplation of God, arriving at, you know, divine, proper divine theology, divine truth. Now, Chas v'Shalom, we're not going to, God forbid, we're not going to claim that Rambam is espousing some type of a Catholic theology, but I think this statement of Soloveitchik cannot go unanswered. We have to somehow, we have to understand really, in fact, what is the, what in fact actually is the meaning of this thing over here. So I want to claim, and of course, I mean, in other words, we can't say, well, the Meir Nevuchim, like, you know, Leo Strauss was to say that I'm really writing Meir Nevuchim, but he wasn't really from, you know, because actually this is the Mishnah Torah too. The Mishnah Torah, it's clear that the Meis Mashiach right, is actually creates the type of, you know, political environment where man can actually pursue these types of things. Yeah. Now, what I want to say is that I understand, you could understand, you can give it a kvetch. And the kvetch would be that man-to-man relationships are autonomous. In other words, in the halacha, there's something called direct action, it's called indirect action, gloma. In other words, interpersonal relationships are autonomous. Once they're established, then mimela, in other words, as an indirect result, man happens to be free to think about God. But there's no really direct causal relationship between man's love of another man and man's love of God. In other words, Augustine is begender a geire, a meise. The Ram is begender grammar. Now, there's a machloik, it's a feud between the Jews and the Goyim. The Ram says, the Goyim are chayev on grammar. And the Jews are pater on grammar. What I'm saying is, the basic thing is that, according to the Rambam, my relationship with another man is not a means relationship with God. It's an end to itself. But except that, a consequence, which is not really intended, but not a factor relationship with the man is, a consequence is this, I'll be able to pursue my relationship with God, only in a serene environment. But according to Christianity, there's actually a direct relationship. It was my relationship from man to man is only a means to relationship with God. So according to Judaism, I can't compromise my relationship to man with relationship to God. In Christianity, you can't. That's what I would say, in other words, as a kvetch. In other words, as a forced distinction between Judaism, between the Rambam and Augustine, right, in order to answer a salvation question. However, the fact is that there's a much more detailed understanding of this, but that's going to have to wait in Mirat Hashem for the next time, because I think it's probably much better that we actually continue a little bit more in chapter 27. And then at the end of chapter 77, I think we'll be in a better position to really fully evaluate the relationship between man to God and man to man. In any case, until next time, from an undisclosed place in Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim, right? Kol tuv v'atzlacha rabba.